Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome, one and all, to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here on another Wednesday evening. It is the topic of getting together and talking about the physical side of FSHD. Last week, we talked about the emotional side with Jen Eggert and got into some mindfulness practice. And now we flip it to the other side, which I believe is the two main pieces of this disease that we all deal with in one way or the other. And we always love to bring in Mitch and Bill to talk.
Bill and Mitch.
Well, you know what? Mitch
I swear,
is.
I'm not saying anything about that. They're doing it on their own.
Mitch's check arrived first, so that's why I figured, you know.
Okay.
So Bill is obviously chomping at the bit, right, to make sure he is heard. So.
Yes.
So how
and he has a right to do so. He has a right to do so. Absolutely.
So how are you doing, Bill? How are you?
Boy, thanks for asking. All right.
So thanks for joining us today, guys, again, and keying in on this side of this disease. And I know that you've worked together, as everyone knows, quite a bit on coming up with some amazing workout plans. Mitch, you've donated your time and sent me some amazing workouts as well. I know there's more parts and pieces coming my way, as you alluded to. Yeah, so I'm excited to keep on with what you've been giving me. And as a quick side note, I have definitely noticed more range of flexibility, even at slight, but definitely is there with some of the things. The legs, the balance and strength has gotten a little better. I've gotten more into baseball coaching right now, so I'm being more active, I guess, and that's kind of why I'm starting to kind of go, wait, that was kind of tougher last year.
That's awesome.
I think for me, it's a little bit on the right path, even though they're small steps, but I'm willing to take them. And cool. Bill, I can see why you like Mitch so much, man. He keeps on you. He makes sure that you're doing it. And, you know, you got to have that motivational factor.
He's certainly there with that.
Yes, he is. So you both wanted to key in a little bit, especially on, I know here where I live in Wisconsin, we're dealing with the shift in temperature and season and climate. And it's colder, it's darker sooner. You know, we change the clocks, the whole deal. So I know that you guys wanted to talk a little bit about that as a starting point. So I'll give you the wheel there to kind of key in on some of the points in regards to those things.
Absolutely. I'm going to kind of speak first, and I'll give Bill the microphone in just a moment. I'm going to kind of go real quickly on what Tim was talking about as well of the list, you know, and he kind of talked about some lists that we've gone through. And obviously that next step, you know, the second list, you know, is that second list of progression? Is it harder? There can be a lot of different factors that happen with a second list or just a different list. But really one of the biggest things that I kind of wanted to point out is, you know, I never told Tim to do it, you know, 30 times a day, you know, 7 days a week. It's more so, you know, I'm going to let you kind of hang out with this list for a little bit, you know, let your body do it, let yourself adjust to the schedule of doing it. You know, and that's how we build that lifestyle change, not just a maybe 3 month, 6 month, 1 year change. It's a lifestyle change. Mm-hmm. So putting that out there right away is, you know, don't rush into anything. Listen to your body. You know, what we do does and is supposed to create change. You know, that obviously depends on what you're doing, how you're doing, how often you're doing. But just in general, you know, any kind of a movement is better than no movement. So, you know, look into, you know, some things. There's a ton of research and information out there on Google, YouTube. You know, they're amazing resources. Mm-hmm. Yes, filter through some of them. Make sure you're getting some good information. Some of it can be anything. But for the most part, I mean, any movement is better than no movement. So, you know, that kind of brings us into the next stage as well of talking about seasonal. So when it gets dark, you know, the difference between 10 o'clock at night compared to 4:30, 5 o'clock at night, well, that's when we're all getting done with work. Well, it's a lot easier to kind of say, I can't make it outside, I can't go do this, or, you know, with some of this new COVID restriction, I'm not sure where you're living or what's going on, but in Oregon here, we just today hit a kind of a pause moment again, where everything is shut down again for 2 weeks at least. Mm-hmm. So how do we maintain that process? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we keep things moving? How do we keep ourselves feeling good mentally, physically? So, you know, that's also a stem from what you guys talked about last week, it sounds like, is the mental process of it.
Right.
You know, the mental process is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, the way we wake up and it's, you know, maybe not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with, you know, blue skies and sunshine outside, and it's dark and gray and pouring down rain and windy. Yeah, it's a little tougher sometimes to motivate yourself to go do it. So that's a little bit of what we want to talk about today, is setting ourselves up with a plan, setting ourselves up with success. You know, and little methods and, you know, kind of strategies to make that happen. So with that said, I want to veer it towards Bill. I'm going to put him on the spot right away and just kind of say, you know, Bill, what changes? I mean, not just in Oregon, you and I know, so kind of elaborate on that idea for a second. What changes when it all of a sudden goes from summer to spring to winter? Because fall to winter, our fall to winter was very quick. It went from 80 degrees to 40.
Yeah, we're high latitude and the seasonal light changes are pretty dramatic and then often overcast. It's no secret that we have a lot more seasonal affective disorder than other parts of the country. And it's hard to be motivated to do exercise, especially outside when the weather is crummy. I enjoy biking. I have a recumbent tricycle that I use in nice weather, but it sprays up in shitty weather with a lot of muck. Mm. You know, terroir, that term that they use to describe wine. Well, I can pretty much taste different neighborhoods. I mean, so I don't like that so much.
Yeah.
So I don't bike as much, but if I do, and lately I've been getting wet and cold, so I bought a pair of rain pants and some wool long johns. So on those, I will go out, but maybe not as often. And then I'll do more inside. I've got a treadmill desk where I, you know, watch conferences and lectures, and I walk and I can change the speed. And that's not as nice as being outside, but it's certainly nicer than not getting to move. And I've got too many stairs in my house, and I've not yet started the Stairmaster regimen. I was going to do a certain number of up and down. I have 42 steps to my front door, and it's a lot, and it's getting over time, especially prior to Mitch, harder, to the point where if I were to get sick and decondition, I worry, can I make it in and out of the house?
Right.
But doing the stairs, you know, there's a railing now inside, going up facing one wall and then going up facing the other wall, sidestepping and then going up regular and maybe even double steps. I think that's going to build up my strength and endurance. And I want to keep on doing that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, that's a challenge.
What about some of the exercises that you'll do, you know, more so inside? You know, I mean, is there things that we can replicate in the gym, also inside the house?
Well, with COVID, the new recommendations for COVID in Oregon, at least, Mitch and I are not going meeting at the gym. We're doing Zoom calls. And even though I don't have a set of, you know, great set of gym equipment, we can do a lot of the floor exercises, light weights, stretching, lunges, balance exercises at home. Mm-hmm. I do have a TRX, you know, strap system, and just having it hanging in my office is a reminder to do it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'll touch base on that though. Like, so when we did a Zoom session for the first time in a little while on Tuesday, did we touch the TRX?
No.
No, we didn't. So on that line of things too, if you don't have, you know, the actual apparatus of the TRX, which I do encourage it. I'm not saying not, you know, I love that Bill has it, but he also knows the things that he's supposed to do on the TRX. So I kind of let him do that. And I try to show him that we can still get a lot of, you know, a little bit of a cardiovascular pump, make the heartbeat, you know, and heart rate go a little faster, and challenge the body, you know, with each workout, we want to overload the body a little bit. Hmm. You know, is it the mental process, the nervous system, the physical process, or all the above? Well, whatever it is, what we're trying to do is create change. You know, so when you're exercising, and let me elaborate on this a little bit more, you know, not every single day needs to be a complete overload. Hmm. So I tell Bill and some of my clients, it's a 6-4-2. Hmm. 6 days out of the week, I want you to touch your body 10 to 15 minutes. You know, if it's just the ankles, or if it's the knees, the hips, the spine, the rotation, whatever it is, you know, spend some time focusing on your body every day would be great. 6 days out of the week would be, you know, just suffice. And then 4 days out of the week, raise your heart rate a little longer than 30 minutes, 20 minutes. And then 2 days out of the week, work on some strength. So that's more of what I refer to Bill. And when I talk about the Zoom sessions is the 2 days, you know, so I want him to go through, you know, 40 to 50 minutes of exercise, challenge his body, overload the body, you know, make his body feel, oh man, that was a little tough. Mm. And the next time they do it, sometimes it's just a mental process. Sometimes it is physical as well. We have to actually strengthen the muscles, but getting the body used to it is half the job.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm also training right now somebody that has fallen over, they tripped over their dog, and they have become a partial paraplegic. Mm. So at this point, we have him just sitting on the end of the bed. And I just want him to feel balance. I will hold him with a broom. He has a broomstick in his hand. I will push him back and forth. And it's just to find balance. Mm. So that really rules to anybody and everybody, where some of my clients, I'll have them stand on one leg and just rotate a dumbbell or a soup can around their body with their arms. I just call it around the world. And when the arms are distracting the balance, it's harder to keep the balance.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of simple exercise that can go so far with anybody. You know, if we can't stand, find something sitting. Hmm. If you can't, you know, if you can't sit on like a chair, well, then find somebody to help you assist to the point where you can get to that point. Hmm. We have to think outside the box sometimes when it comes to, you know, being in your own environment at home and what could really work there. Sometimes a professional is needed. Sometimes just think outside the box and maybe look up some people that have looked into your, you know, your problem or your issue, or maybe, you know, with FSH specifically, absolutely look it up. And I guarantee you there's going to be something out there that will give you a couple of leads.
Yeah.
Then look into it.
Yeah. It sounds like you don't want those things to be excuses. I can kind of sense how that could be. Well, I can't do it that way. So just forget it.
Pretty much. Yeah. And trust me, you know, I'm going to tell you all right now, it's easy. I get it. I do it. Mm-hmm. Like we all do it. It's, you know, sometimes I want to go and set up Christmas lights at this time of, you know, year while it's warm instead of doing certain things. But,
right,
you know, a really good example for myself is last week on Thursday and Friday, I have a lot of sessions. I couldn't really move too much. I could have. So yeah. Really, I'm almost creating an excuse right now while telling you guys the story. I could have done it, but I didn't do it. And yeah. So then Saturday I was excited to work out, but my body didn't feel good enough to really do anything too intense. So I was a little bit bummed with myself, and I did what I needed to do. And then Sunday I felt good. So we need to remember that sometimes setting ourselves up for success, if you have some kind of a big event or you want to try to make something happen, you know, it's the consistency of moving your body that makes your body feel a little bit more equal to then be able to work on it on a specific day. And especially when you're putting resistance on or, you know, trying to work on strength, our body needs to move well before we move a lot. If we're moving a lot and we don't move well, chances are it's going to bring a little bit more susceptibility to injury. Hmm.
Sounds like also then routine, based on where we started, we're talking about how the change in season and temperature and even, you know, amount of light you have, which also affects your mood and then your motivation. Yep. But if you create a routine that I would imagine is a routine that is a successful one, you know, don't make your goal so ridiculous that, you know, you're not going to be able to achieve it.
Absolutely. set some long-term and short-term goals. I'm sure everybody has heard that before too, mm-hmm. you know, in the sense of what are the appropriate goals? You know, how long is a long-term goal? Is it 10 years or is it more so 6 months to a year? You know, and then know some stages to be able to meet to that big term goal too. Mm-hmm. You know, so I liken myself a little bit more of the short-term goals. We all have a long-term goal usually in our head. The short-term goals kind of keeps us on track because every one of us likes gratification. Mm-hmm. Every one of us likes instant gratification for sure. Right. But when it comes to the body and the movements and stuff like that, you know, instant gratification is not always present right away. So we have to allow that to set in, you know, we have to allow for our body to feel different, you know, and Judy is in the background. I can ask her right on hand of, you know, is instant gratification present right away? No, it's a, you know, if we have knee pain, is it just the knee or is it multiple things that probably play into it? Mm. Well, Judy in the background is probably going to say it's multiple things. Yeah. So,
you know, now she's shy.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's a whole system, but you say it so much better than I would.
No. That's okay. So it really is, though. She said it right. It is a whole system. You know, you have to understand the system. You got to know how to maintenance the systems. You know, if we have to go in and work something, you know, some people will talk about how much the big toe is important. Hmm. Well, the big toe out of a squat, if we dissect a squat and someone, you know, well-known physical therapist says it's your big toe.
Yeah.
Is everybody not going to be a little bit confused? Well, I would be, you know, you're going, my big toe, really? And that is how the body works. You know, so that same thing with the chain all the way through up the body is how can we kind of break them down to simple exercises? And at home, we can do a ton of simple exercises. Mm-hmm. Bill, can you name a couple of exercises for me that is simple, you know, is it shoulder circles? Is it our overhead reaches?
What hula hoops, the ones? Shoulder circles, the
absolutely
the bringing the elbow up like you're doing a lawnmower pull, the kanga squats, regular squats, sit-ups. I mean, there's
tons. I love it. Stuff. So obviously he has a few of those.
Hip kick, butt kickers.
That's great. I love it. So, you know, let's explain a couple of these. Let's go with a high knee pull or a butt kicker. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the two that are similar, but kind of opposite ranges. Judy knows them, of course. So when we're talking about the high knee pull, we're standing in place. What if we couldn't stand in place? Should we go next to a wall or something to grab onto?
We can grab something for support.
Right.
If that's too difficult, I can imagine you can do it seated. Yep. I mean, it wouldn't be, you know, you can develop it in a staged fashion so that, and in fact, many of the exercises that I'm now doing are further variants of older exercises where before I was bracing myself against the wall or sitting on a box. Now I'm able to do it standing, ditto for some of the weight exercises. Sure. Yeah. So that adds balance to the problem. It's not just exercising certain muscles around joints, but adds that dynamic balance.
Problem. Absolutely. Well, that's the cool part is, you know, it's, I love to sometimes bring this up to Bill of, hey, you know, remember when we first started with this stage, you know, and it's not to, you know, try to give me kudos. It's more so of painting the picture as to why we spent time and why we spent, you know, many, many hours to do this.
Right.
You know, I am going to put it again that I don't tell Bill to do it 7 days a week, three times a day. It's just way too much to ask of people because when I put that much of a requirement on them, it's hard to really stick to that regimen. And I think we can all abide by that rule.
Right.
So where it's like, I can't really stick to something forever. So, you know, life is hard.
Over time though, I find that I'm spending more time with exercise and it's kind of, it grew kind of organically.
Answer that though. Why would you spend more time with it?
I'm seeing more progress.
Right.
And so I want to keep that going. Right. I mean, I'm seeing the benefit.
Momentum.
And it also takes a while to turn a practice into a habit.
Mm. Yep.
And then it's self-reinforcing.
Right.
And and you've also set it up so that it's kind of in your environment. Like he has the TRX straps hanging right there. Yep. So you pass by him, maybe you only do 30 seconds of it, but it's something. And then you do it later.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. It becomes a very normal habitual pattern throughout the day. You know, and if you, it's a little bit like drinking water. We've all heard that before. It's like have a, you know, a canteen or nowadays the hydro flask and all the awesome, you know, ways of keeping your water cold or warm or whatever you choose. But having that close to you, you'll probably drink it.
Yeah.
And then there's also another step to it. If you have a straw in it, you'll drink it more. Mm. And that's just like, you know, kind of crazy brain functions. It's just the way it works. But you know what? If that's the way it works, play with it. Mm. It's not bad that you're getting more water. If you just have to go buy a straw for $5, well, if you're getting that much more water, that's a benefit. So Bill setting up his TRX in his office, well, every time he walks in and out of the door, he either has to move the TRX or use it. You know, so it ends up becoming a kind of a win-win situation. And that's a little bit what we're here to talk to you about today, is just setting yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. How do you do so? Is it having a workout partner? Is it having a trainer?
Right.
Is it having some kind of a class that you go to? You know, there's
a lot of options. Speaking of which, Mitch, you pulled this on me a while ago where you sort of roped me into writing a book. You were talking about a group class for FSH. So that's in the works. So instead of having to do a one-on-one trainer session, which is expensive, more people can participate, and maybe if there's enough interest, people at different levels can participate and get the benefit of your expertise, increasing expertise, not just in physical training in general, but specific to FSH. I think that would be a wonderful benefit to the community. Absolutely. To have access to your Zoom sessions.
Yeah,
that is where we're trying to go. And Bill's reeling me in here, but I'm going to reel him back right back in and say he's going to be demonstrating. He's going to be present with me in a few of these. I think it's very important to show where we came from as well. You know, I think it's very important to show some of the challenges that we, you know, still encompass, some of the things that we've bypassed. So he's going to be very present in this whole idea too. So good try there, Bill. But yes, it's going to be a double duo.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're looking forward to that. Kind of our idea here is to, you know, give people a little bit of a, I love the term Mobility Monday. I think it can be any day. It just kind of rhymes with Monday. So, or I guess it doesn't rhyme, but it goes along with Monday well. So Mobility Monday though, for the most part, is the sense of, I want everybody to warm their body up before we use it all day. Do you take 1,000 steps or do you take 19,000 steps? Well, if you take 1,000, that's a lot of steps doing it really badly. If you take 19,000 steps, it's a lot of steps doing it really badly. Yeah. So what I mean by badly is just out of line, out of form, or some muscles not working. Can we spend 10 to 30 minutes, depending on what time you have, to warm some of those up each day? Then be able to go use them throughout the day.
Wow.
You know, and that's a big factor. So I think
those are WD-40s.
Those are the warm up exercises. WD-40 in a nutshell, like there, Bill.
Do your WD-40s.
Exactly. So, you know, lubricant to our joints is very key. You know, there's a lot of things to it within, you know, anatomically of how our structure sits. You know, we need lubricant around those joints. We need those joints to be comfortable, to be able to move in those, you know, directions, and have the muscles be able to respond in those directions. So sometimes it's the simple and very effective exercise that go a long ways. You know, do we want to challenge ourselves and overload ourselves? Yeah, we went over that a little bit, you know, about, you know, halfway through this episode here, but we don't need to do that every day.
Right.
What I think we do need to do every day is focus on our body, activate the body, turn the body on a little bit. Is it hard? No, I have a mentor that I follow that makes his kids grab bean bags and throw them through hula hoops that hang from the ceiling. That he has them do it right-handed. He has them do it left-handed. Then he has to do it right foot and right hand, then left foot and right hand. And it just turns their body on.
Right.
It's not necessarily whether it's like, oh, my kid's going to be the best pitcher in the MLB or the best softball pitcher in the, you know, that's not the concept.
Right.
The concept is to activate the body mentally and then also physically.
Before we let you go, I know you wanted to key in a little bit on foot and ankle work. Is there something you want to hit on that?
Yes, I had a feeling we would end up going too much on the beginning topic, which we can usually, it's totally good. We have a lot to talk about. We can always kind of go there. So with the feet and the ankle work, so Bill can, we'll chime on this here pretty soon again on another episode about some of the actual apparatus that Bill has created for a little bit more of the ankle support.
Okay.
But despite that though, is we still want to go ahead.
I can show, you guys, but it's not good for the radio audience.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it's an apparatus that keeps his knee from going too far forward, rather. So it sits on top of his arch of his, not his arch, but more so of the bend coming from the foot up to the shin.
Okay.
And then it keeps him from going too far forward. So it gives him some support there. With that said, though, is we had a lot of atrophy, would you say, Bill, in the gastroc, which is the calf muscle, and the soleus, which is also the calf muscle. But, some of that opposite end strength, what would you say there?
Yeah, quite weak. But we've built up strength in terms of plantar flexion, and you can see bulk in the soleus more than the gastroc, but even the gastroc coming back.
Absolutely. Yeah. So with the feet, there's a lot of things to think about with that. Mm-hmm. We walk on our feet most of the time.
Right.
Most of the time. We don't really crawl anymore, especially once we get past the age of about 2. Some of us do. Some of us need to, and that's okay. But once you get to the point where we can develop that strength to stand tall, we're just back onto our ankles and our feet. Mm. So we have to have a connection down there. So I call this the second core. The feet are the second core. So even some simple exercise to make you walk better is like lifting the big toe, spreading the toes, curling the toes in, move the foot right, move the foot left, and make sure that those muscles that are attached to the ankle and the toes are just as durable as the hands can be. Because if I would say that if we all walked on all fours, or crawled on all fours rather, we would probably have a little bit more dialed in kind of, relationship to our feet. Mm-hmm. But since we don't, and we touch things with our hands, our hands usually move pretty well. And that's what we want to try to keep. We want to try to keep all that function, the feet and the hands. Mm-hmm. So with Bill and his hands as well, what do we do there, Bill? Do we play with the ball? Do we go into extension, trying to make sure that we create and keep function there?
Wrist and finger extension are weak. In my case, and I imagine with many others, but wrist extension is slowly improving. Finger extension, range of motion is maybe marginally improved, but not the strength. But wrist extension strength is stronger, and that has helped with a lot of exercises, like press kind of exercises against weight.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, with some of those reminders, what I'm kind of thinking about is bringing this onto Bill again is we had a lot of really good feedback with some of the videos that we were doing on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I would love to get back there and start posting a couple of things. It's not going to be quite as often, not every week, but I would love to kind of have a couple of things that give you all some feedback of some things to work on, some approaches that we do with the wrist extensors and the feet and stuff like that too. And it's everyday, all day stuff that we do. Eventually our workouts become our warm-ups. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want to trigger for, is to make this exercise a progression. You want to remember what made you feel better in the first place. And then enjoy the process. Find something that makes you enjoy the process. If it's always grieving, if it's always not fun, I promise you, you won't do it. You'll find a reason somehow to not do it.
Yeah.
So is it the person you're hanging out with? Is it, your workout buddy, like we talked about? Is it your environment that you put yourself in? Is it at your house, at a park, in a gym? Obviously right now, be creative with the sense of some of the, options not available. But find the right process for you. And I promise you, exercise and fitness and getting yourself to learn your own body is a great way to go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's good stuff, guys. I really appreciate your time today. getting it all out there for us. Before we say goodbye, though, how can they find the videos that are out there on your Instagram? You want to plug yep. that tag real quick?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so at, right now it's at Mitch Wade PDX, MitchWadePDX. And you'll be able to feel or see some of the videos that me and Bill have already posted on there. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have some other ones as well that I have just posted for, you know, specific clients and just people to be able to view.
Sure.
That kind of trigger for anybody and everybody. But if you have any specific questions, don't hesitate to ask, you know, ask questions. If you think you're able to do this and you have some questions as to maybe what it's for or some extended questions of why to do it, I'm more than happy to answer those questions. You know, any movements are good movements because for the most part, there are muscles that are controlling it.
Mm, beautiful. Well put. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Mitch.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
See you next month.
That sounds good, my man. Sounds good. You guys have a good night.
Bye-bye.
So that's getting physical there with Bill and Mitch as, you know, we're talking about using your body the proper way, not just doing it. And we had some great comments that were coming through on Facebook here. Nikki Dexter was talking a little bit back and forth there. I think she enjoyed the, you know, keep your big toes strong, right? She mentioned, I would also pose not to get too trapped in your daily routine and forget to focus on movement and challenge yourself. And I think the second part of that comment that Nikki said is really keyed in for me because it is about, yes, you want routine. And to me, if you develop a routine, there's a very good chance you'll stay with the routine. And as Bill mentioned, it takes a while to develop that routine and then stick with it. And then when Nikki says, but don't forget to challenge yourself, I would say within then that routine, because if you're not finding yourself challenged and you're just going through the motions, that's not really what you want to do. That's not going to accomplish a goal that you set in front of you. And we talked about that too, you know, how big of a goal you set, what kind of goals should you set and this and that. So what I want to do is I want to take a quick break because I want to throw this question to you out to you and give you time to chat back here. And then we'll go to break while you do that is, what kind of exercises are you doing, if any? How much or how often do you do it? What's your routine? And is there any kind of exercises that you didn't do before FSHD really kind of maybe, you know, redirected you or made you pivot or, as I say, adapt and kind of change an exercise, you know? And maybe it's never something you thought you'd be doing, but you're doing it to help your cause to get physical. So you can answer that when we come on back on the other side of the break. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Hi, this is Tim Hollenbach, host of the FSHD Society Radio Show, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the FSHD University. FSHD University is your center for advanced education about the art and science of living with FSH muscular dystrophy. The inspiration for FSHDU emerged from the success of the Sequester Camp series, which was a weekly program launched by the FSHD Society team when the COVID-19 pandemic forced widespread social distance. We will focus on these three departments on FSHD University: physical health, mental health, and research, drawing on the many resourceful, creative people in our community who have earned their MDs and PhDs in living with FSHD. Over time, we expect to establish new departments to address additional areas where we see a thirst for knowledge. Your input and suggestions are very much welcome. This is your university, the FSHD Society University. To find out more, visit fshdsociety.org. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Just coming on the other side of the break in our beginning segment there, we had Mitch and Bill talking about the physical side of FSHD and good workout routine, how to adjust that routine because for a lot of us, the seasons are changing. It's getting darker, colder. And of course, COVID-19 is not letting up. It's getting worse. So a lot of places are instituting their stay-at-home orders or shutting things down for a couple more weeks. So we have to adapt yet again. And then on top of all of that, at least where I am, it gets darker so fast. And it puts a little damper on the mood. Now, when it comes to mood or your state of mind, you make sure you're tuning in for our mindfulness episodes and other resources that FSHD Society has. Like, for instance, we have Jen Eggert that's tuning in right now to this show, and she was on last week talking about mindful practice. So there's that side of it I think you really have to obviously work on and practice, and we talked about that. So if you missed that episode, that's still available for you either at FSHD Society's Facebook page. You can watch it, or you can listen to it anywhere you find podcasts. That would be, you know, Google and Spotify and whatnot. But for me, the routine, the question I gave to you all, threw it out there is, you know, how much do you exercise? What's your routine? What kind of exercise do you do? And is there anything new that you never thought maybe you would do, but because of FSHD, you find yourself doing it? So, Sue Drescher says, we know there is a very wide spectrum of ability for FSHD population. It makes it hard for some who have lost exercise abilities. Oops. Exercise abilities that, let me go back to that comment. Sorry, Sue. I'm reading it as we go. That we used to have. We must also be mindful of doing our best with what we have. Injury and strain can cause lack of progress for some, and hoping our muscles rebuild is sometimes not possible. I agree with all of that, of course. And that kind of sprinkles in a little bit of the message today with then just key in on spreading your toes if you can, turning your ankle, turning your foot, mindfulness of when you're moving those parts and getting to work. Start small. Your second core, as Mitch said, work that. Then do other things you can do. There's no doubt that I find myself that, you know, I have probably more ability to lift things or move things than others with the same disease. And then there's some things that I used to be able to do and I can't now. So I've learned to adapt. Like, for instance, I'll definitely say that my routine gets tough. You know, I try to get up and get going and do certain things and then try to motivate myself to start doing some of Mitch's workout plan he gave me, or I'll split it up into two parts. I'll do something in the morning and then I'll do something in the evening. The person that really motivates me in my home is actually my wife, who, you know, she'll after supper or something, TV's on, she'll grab a couple of weights, really, really light weights. I mean, I'm talking like not even 5 pounds sometimes, just to get her body moving, and she'll lay on the floor, do some, just, she just makes them up as she goes. I can totally tell. But it kind of motivates me to go, hey, I'm gonna do that. So I can start to do some of Mitch's work. And then she'll ask me, oh, what kind of workout is that? Or what kind of exercise is that? And then we're kind of now sharing what we're doing and how to help each other right there on the living room. TV's on. And then we do that for about maybe 20 minutes tops and go back to, you know, talking about our day or watching TV or whatever. But we find these little nuggets of time. So I find her a great motivator in that regard. And I think if you don't have that person, at least in your home, you can't go to them in this time. You know, Mitch does have the Instagram that you can follow. Anyone can do that. And there's so many little things you can do. And it's okay if they're little things. They can be big things to you, but little to others. You know, it's all a matter of perspective. To me, the exercise I never thought I'd find myself doing that I do or try to do often, but I'm guilty. I haven't done it as much, especially since Mitch has given me some workout routines to do, is yoga. And I follow Sarah Beth Yoga, a plug that I will not get paid for. And I like her workouts because they're simple and I can adapt them easily. And I like using YouTube because then I'm not in a class. I know we can't be now, but I started this even before COVID hit. And I kind of liked just doing it in my own private space. So someone's not looking at me like, why can't I move my arm like they do or whatever. So I personally don't see myself doing a lot of classes. There was a time where I went to a personal trainer, told him of my condition. Like Mitch, he researched it to some degree. He tested what my abilities were and what I could do and can't do and talked to me about goals. And I had about 20 sessions with him and they went well. We're still friends now. It's actually where I train my baseball team and a lot of the players use him for training. But he's not as adaptive as I'd find, like Mitch, for instance, who has definitely more honed in on the workout plan for that. So I don't see the gentleman I went to anymore, and it was hard. And for me, it was kind of awkward working out the way I was in front of very able-bodied people, you know, that were pumping iron like crazy and lifting weights. And I'm like, jeepers, man, I can't do that, you know. And I get kind of like self-conscious. So I don't care for that. I'd rather just do it home. But then that comes with self-discipline, which is tough because I can easily say, forget it. You know, I can easily do that. So that's kind of like my take on it. It's so hard. It's so hard for me to kind of keep that routine, stay disciplined in it, stay focused. Now, when it comes to things that I enjoy, like or in a space to do the workouts in, you can check out my own personal Facebook. I took a picture of it and posted it. But I created this little like baseball batting cage space within my basement. I've actually added to it since, where it's almost full artificial turf now in this little, you know, 20-foot long space by maybe 12 foot wide. You know, so it's not huge at all, but I like it. I like the space. I like how I make I felt accomplished in doing it. It was not an easy task, but so I like being in the space, and then I feel like a regular athlete in it. So then I find myself doing the Mitch Wade workouts right there on that turf. And then I kind of roll into, I think I can still swing a bat, or I still think I can do this. And some of the exercises he's given me are great as a baseball player. And he kind of, you know, keyed in on those aspects. So there's always something to take away. There's always something that you can do by learning from others. I call it stealing, you know, from others. That's how I coach. That's how I self-taught myself how to do a lot of things, including running audio and editing equipment and things like that for podcasts. I don't have a schooling in this at all. I just figure it out as I go. And I think with exercise and adapting, even if it's just spreading your toes, there's a way to do it and teach yourself and steal from others and build your own little workout plan. And I think Mitch's Instagram at Mitch Wade PDX is awesome. So still time to share. If you have any more comments you want to add with maybe what you're doing for physical exercise, how often do you do it? You know, for me, it's try to do it like 4 times a week. And if I only do it 4 times a week, sometimes, or I should say 4 days a week, then sometimes I'll do it twice a day, you know, 4 days a week. The way I see it, that's like 2 different times. So that's kind of like doubling up. And I find myself trying to fit it in those windows of time and opportunity to do it. And like I said, getting someone to motivate a friend, even if it's someone virtual, can always help as well. I'm looking forward, though, to having Mitch and Bill do a workout, you know, class or of some type for FSHD. That's awesome. I would totally be down for that. That'd be a lot of fun, I think. I think that'd be a blast. Maybe the big Zoom, right? We're all working out. That'd be kind of cool. I have no problem working out with that group. Where I was doing it before, as I mentioned, that was a little uncomfortable. But amongst my community, I would be totally excited to do that and get to know you all that way, too. So, yeah, as we roll forward, I wanted to, before we close up shop tonight, go over some events, things coming up. We got a big FSHD Society Radio Show event coming up in December. Want to talk about that and plug that a little bit. So we're going to kind of roll that exit music here, as you guys are probably getting accustomed to, right, of how I do things around here. Coming up on the FSHDU event on the 19th, which is what? Tomorrow, believe it or not. It's already the 19th of November. The Utah family officially, it's about a Utah family. I'm sorry, excuse me. Let me read my copy correctly. There's Utah family that they're tracking way back to the pioneer days to a person born in like 1775. And they're working on that family tree and tracking FSHD that far back. It's an interesting conversation I think we're going to see on FSHDU tomorrow. So tune in for that. Learn more at fshdsociety.org. If you look forward to the 21st of November, there's 2 virtual meetings happening. I think that's, man, is that already Saturday? Jeez. The Chicago virtual meeting from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time. I'm going to try to maybe click in on that if I am available. You can join Dave Lucas and friends in Chicago for that meeting. New York City has theirs as well on the same day. Looks like from 12 to 1 p.m. East. On December 1st, we're going to have the next FSHD. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the second? Let me get my dates right. I want to make sure I get my dates right, folks. You know, sometimes I get a little confused. I'm sorry. Yes, it is the second. The second is the FSHD Society radio show when we're going to talk to Ed Barakas, of the civil rights attorney for the ACLU out of New Jersey. That's that event. Giving Tuesday is going to be the 1st of December. That's the first Tuesday after Thanksgiving. We're going to have a long telethon event going all day. We have tons of guests in store. That'll all be broadcasted Zoom. So unlike last year, you'll be able to see the guests, which could be kind of cool. And a lot of help, Lee Reynolds and others that we will definitely give kudos to helping out on the FSHD Society on that day. It's going to be a fun, exciting event. On next week's show, we're going to have a Thanksgiving What Are You Thankful For episode on the 25th of November. So chime in with me on what are you thankful for. Sounds a little corny. I'll have some thankful stories that I might want to share with you as I research the web and beyond to share some stories and maybe some uplifting stories. Then on the 3rd of December, FSHD Connecticut Connections, the tongue twister, as I call it, as they meet in that great forum virtually, as they kind of were the pioneers of that, the Connecticut Connections. Join them on the 3rd of December. So a lot going on in the end of November here into December, and all those events and so much more going on, visit FSHDSociety.org to learn more. Oh, also, Sue Drescher says November 24th is Caregiver Sharing Night. We cannot forget that. That is a huge event because it's massively successful. Chime in, join in on that. Sue has posted that on the comment section on the 24th. So don't forget that one. A lot going on here in the next couple weeks. So we hope you can be a part of all those events. And maybe that'll help make this new little quarantine time we might have to deal with here, as I hope the light at the end of our tunnel is coming with vaccines and treatments and whatnot for this COVID-19 thing, so we can all get back together and meet beyond the screens. However, this show will still be here for you regardless. So thank you all for being here this show. Look forward to you next week. And take care. Be kind to one another. Be safe. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.